Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Venerable Tom Dorrian sitting in front of me.
Hello.
And to my left, where, well, I guess that's where the goats are. So the sheep are on the right and the goats are on the left.
I can't even do a goat.
I got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
So we are, yes, exactly. We find ourselves, as this show is airing, we find ourselves on the Feast of All Souls, the commemoration of all the faithful departed. And I don't, as I look back, I don't think that we've ever done a show on this topic where we've talked about All Souls Day, basically, which we, most of us know that this is the day that follows All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times there's been confusion, like why do we have these two back-to-back?
All days.
Yeah, you know, where it's like we got All Saints and we got All Souls. And there's always been, like when I was younger, I think I was a little confused about like which, what the day was and what's the difference, you know, to the point where, you know, you just don't always pay attention to stuff like that, but you start, it's, I think it's good to stop and see the wisdom of the church and why the church celebrates. All Souls came along, as a feast or as a solemnity in the Catholic Church. I mean, around, you know, somewhere the 900s, thousands, early, it was early in the church's history, but you know, 1,000 years ago is when that this started to be celebrated as a on the calendar. All Saints Day is much older, but All Souls Day is a little newer, but still old, and it's still around for a long time. And so we kind of want to talk about a little bit about that. I guess the differences, but really, what do we focus on All Souls Day? Do y'all have like any specific things that you do on All Souls Day? Neither of you, you're looking at me like, what are you supposed to do on All Souls Day?
Well, I go to Mass and I pray for the prayer. Actually, that's sir, true. Here's something that's really funny. So my family, we came into the church when I was in sixth grade. My dad returned to the church. My mom entered the church and I got baptized and my sister got baptized.
That's cool. You remember that?
I do.
That's cool.
How old were you?
I was in like fifth or sixth grade.
Oh, fifth or sixth grade. Okay,
yeah, one of those.
And you had not been baptized at that point.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I guess it was sixth grade. I can when I was baptized, and it was. I remember when All Souls Day was happening, and it my first All Souls Day, I think, was the same year that Kurt Cobain, the lead singer of Nirvana, had taken his life, and that was like for kids my age. That was like a huge deal. And so, and it was still, I think it was months afterwards, but I remember like, okay, I got to pray for Kurt Cobain, you know, like when I was in sixth grade. And the thing that's funny is then the next year, you know, of course you're praying for family members and other people who have died. You don't know that many people who died when you're in sixth grade, generally
right.
speaking, in the U.S. at least. I was like, next year I prayed for Kurt Cobain. And then it became a tradition. And I realized this a couple of years ago, being like, man, I've now for decades been praying for the repose of the soul of Kurt Cobain. So if I get on the other side and he's there, I'm going to be like, hey, buddy. No. I was praying for you every year.
Trust me. You won't need to do that because he'll run up to you. Yeah, I think that's what would happen. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that part of you, that you were a Nirvana fan.
Well, it's funny because like I don't when you're in sixth grade that was when I was in sixth grade that was the music that everyone was listening to and that blew up to the nth degree when he took his own life and I was still like praying for the repose of his soul even when I wasn't listening to the music at all.
Well, at least you understood the concept. So let's talk about that. You know, who do we pray for? You know, because a lot of times people say, well, okay, but if there are you praying to people in heaven? It's like, no, that's All Saints Day, right? It's not. So All Saints Day, we're focused on, you know, celebrating those that are in heaven and those known and unknown. right? So the church's official canon, their list of saints. So we have all these saints that we celebrate throughout the year, but also specifically saints that are named. They're called saints because the church has determined that they are in heaven, right? And they've been through all the process, and so we know, and they have the ST period in front of their name, and so we know they're in heaven. And so then those folks, we're celebrating, right? And we're seeing them as examples. We're seeing them as models for our own lives. And then we're basically celebrating the church triumphant at that point, which is helping the church militant, all of us here. But we're not focused on the church suffering, you know, on All Saints Day. I mean, there's a mention or an understanding of the existence. We're not denying the existence of souls in purgatory or in the process of purgation or purification. But we're focused on those that have attained the goal, who wear the crown, right? And that's All Saints Day. All Souls Day, then we turn our focus to those who are in purgatory, those who are on the road to heaven, right? That need our prayers for whatever reason. Maybe they were, maybe they were a little holier than us. Maybe they were a little less holy than us, but they're like us. They're ordinary folks. And if we don't know, see, this is the thing, is like a lot of people get confused. Like, well, am I allowed to pray for my deceased mother on All Souls Day? Is that a good day to do that? The answer is yes. We don't know where your deceased mother is. We all have the assurance of hope. We have the assurance of God's mercy. We can be sure of that. But we don't know the end result. We don't know the state of individuals like that in our family. But we do know there are souls in purgatory, those that have died, who need to be in a state of purification or purgation, which is what purgatory is. Remember, purgatory is not a place, right? It's a state of being. It's a
process.
It's a process, right? The holy car wash, we've talked about that before.
Above-average Bill.
Exactly right. Haven't talked to him in a while. He moved out of town. But, you know, the thing is, we should be busy praying for people. Our All Souls Day, it's a good day to remember the dead, especially the dead in your family. It's a good day to visit the cemetery, right? There's a lot of things we can do. So go into the cemetery and to look out there. And you don't know the state of every person's soul. You don't even necessarily know. Some of these people, how many times have you gone to a cemetery and go like, I wonder who that is. I have no idea.
Hey, if you pray the rosary in a cemetery, it's an indulgence.
Is it partial or plenary? Do you know?
I think it's plenary.
So there's a list. You should get a book of the Enchidrian of Indulgences, or the list of indulgences, the norms and grants. They still publish this book, and man, there's so many Catholics.
Pretty cool stuff.
There are so many Catholics that go, do we still do that?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Martin Luther shut that down? I mean, the church got embarrassed by it, and so we don't do that. And we've done shows on indulgences. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. You need to believe. This is an important part of what we do as a church. And it is still part of church, a very active part of the church, so much so that the popes still grant, you know, universal grants for indulgences, special grants for certain occasions and certain places. And these are opportunities for grace, for graces for those who are in purgatory.
That's right.
You know, and at the end of the day, we need to be doing that. Mm-hmm. And realize that's a powerful part of our faith. And this is where I think a lot of people have forgotten. And I think that we as Catholics can easily forget what we teach in terms of, like, especially like the power of prayer, right? Mm-hmm. How many times have we prayed and we don't hear an answer? Mm-hmm. And after over a period of time, we start thinking, like, is prayer doing any good? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the stuff where I think All Souls Day gives us an opportunity really to fixate and to, I said fixate, maybe the wrong word, but to really focus. Mm-hmm. Our specific prayers and maybe find some folks, you know, there's a couple of people specifically in my own life who I don't talk about it much, but like in terms of like family members who have who've died, where I don't know where I don't know what their eternal situation is. And rather than just sit and worry and be filled with consternation and worry, I think more importantly, it's like, well, I know of one thing I can do, and that's pray. You know?
Well, and we're supposed to have hope for everybody. I mean, Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, both of them wrote on encouraging us to have openness and hope even for Judas, right? And it wasn't them saying, you know, they're there to canonize Saint Judas, and, you know, what they're trying to say is that here's an example of someone that everyone automatically assumes necessarily is in hell. What can you do that's worse than being the guy that betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver?
You mean like, well, not 30 pieces of silver, you say betrayed Jesus, but it's like, you mean like Saint Peter?
Oh, yeah, exactly. There's right? that. Yeah, exactly. But still, even so, there you have people who, you know, generally regard Judas as presumed damned. And, you know, ultimately, the fact of the matter is, that's between God and Judas. And what Pope Benedict and the 16th and Pope John Paul II were trying to do was just help us understand the bigness of God's mercy. They weren't ultimately making like an argument one way or another regarding Judas. It was just, we need to be in awe of God's mercy. And so no matter how somebody has lived, we need to be able to turn and pray with hope. And yes, there's a hell. And yes, it's not empty. You know, we know this to be true. But we still, our heart will grow in its capacity to have charity, the more willing we are, if they're to go against any inclination we might have. We might have an inclination to judge someone who died and be like, oh, that person's in hell. We can grow in charity by saying, no, you know what? I'm going to pray for the repose of that person's soul. And especially if it kind of stings a little, that's a good sign that we probably need to be doing that, you know? And so it's a great way to grow in grace and to give grace and praying for the souls in purgatory.
Yeah, and, the Bible tells us, it's interesting, you mentioned, like, so-and-so's in hell, or so-and-so's probably in hell,
yeah.
Right? We can't help but as human beings to think thoughts like that sometimes and to evaluate other people's lives. And this is where I think the Bible's admonition against judgment is a good one, right? Because we have to use discernment and judgment in everything that we do, and having right judgment and things like that. But where the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged yourselves, right? What that verse is specifically talking about is you don't get to place anybody in heaven and hell. You have no purview there. You have no rights. You have no authority.
You don't get
authority.
To be God.
You don't get to be God, right? And you might, now it's good to contemplate like someone else's life and the things that they did or didn't do, where they might have exceeded, but also where they might have failed. It's good to notice that, to recognize that. But that's all the more reason to pray, especially for the repose of their soul, because at the end of the day, we don't know where anyone is, with the exception of those that the church has declared as saints, right? We don't know, and especially when it comes to people that are lesser known, maybe known to you, family members, you know, Uncle Fred or you know Aunt Marge or whatever. Those people known to you, the church doesn't necessarily know who they are. They're not necessarily going to be world famous, and everyone talks about, you know, or they may not be a Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
Right. But the interesting thing is, out of your innocence in sixth or seventh grade, you know, at the end of the day, you're praying for someone's soul. And you may have been the only person literally going through the Catholic process of praying, for Kurt Cobain, you know. And I would have never thought of that, because, you know, you look at the rock and rollers and you go like, that's a rough life. You know, there's not a lot of folks who are, making it easy on themselves to get to heaven. Let's say it that way. There's just a lot. It's a very, very different life. And so it's not like everyone's going like, oh, what a saintly person. You know, now there's a lot of people that would look and say like, oh, I'm certain Taylor Swift's going to heaven. You know, the people love Taylor Swift so much, right? So it's easy to love, you know, the girl next door kind of thing and all that kind of stuff. But you know, in some of this whatever the genre of rock that he was in, I don't know what you would know.
Grunge.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. That doesn't even sound holy.
It doesn't sound like Sam either, does it?
No, I mean, I was just a kid, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you're still just a kid at heart, and you're still every once in a while put on those grunge records. You know, and but at the end of the day, here's the thing. And I guess this long little sort of diatribe is pointing me in this direction, and that is like so pleading for them, praying for those souls, it actually inspires us. So there's a positivity to us praying for the soul. There's a benefit for the soul that we're praying for. We have to believe that. We have to believe that our prayers are efficacious, that they do something. So there is a benefit to those for whom we're praying. But there's also a benefit for us, because it actually does inspire us to live better, to be better, to follow the proper rubrics in life, to say, look, and not to judge them and to say, like, I don't want to be like, you know, just like we had recently the readings, I don't want to be like, you know, that tax collector, mm-hmm. right? And you need to worry about yourself in the way that, like, where you need salvation, you know, so you're not praying for somebody saying, Lord, I pray for Kurt Cobain. You know, he lived a trashy life, and he's a trashy person. You know, and he's probably,
thankfully I'm not that way.
Yeah, and thankfully it's not me, and thank you for protecting right. me from that kind of life or whatever. That's not the right prayer, mm-hmm. I don't think. You know, I can't tell you how to pray, but what I can tell you is a good and holy prayer is the same as a good and holy marriage. It's a total self-gift, total gift of self, just giving yourself in prayer. Turning everything that you have control over to that person in prayer, that's a good prayer, mm-hmm. right? That's going to have benefit, and I think that's what inspires us and makes us better persons. If we're actively seeking to make this world a better place, and if we're actively seeking to make eternity a better place, mm-hmm. Now there's still mystery to all this, right? We still have to recognize there's a great mystery, because like. I always get a little confused when someone says, are you going to pray for somebody? It's like, yes. And then I stop and think like, well, but if they're dead, they're in the supernatural realm where there's no time. Everything has happened, everything is happening, and everything will happen all at the same time. And it's like, so what good do my prayers do? And you can actually convince yourself that your prayers are not efficacious. Well, the judgment's already been made. Kurt Cobain is already here or there. Right, he's already in whatever place where eternally he's going to rest, you know, and it may not be a rest, you know, and you can convince yourself your prayers do nothing, but in some mysterious way, God is able and uses those prayers in a way that's efficacious for souls. This is what we teach, and we don't deny this, and so praying is good even after the fact. I don't know how it works, I don't know, and I you know maybe. There's some kind of great Catholic chemistry experiment or physics experiment or something, and some great theologian has an answer to that question, and I don't know if that answer is there. Maybe if you know the answer, send me an email. Like, what good do our prayers do? I believe they do great good, and I think they're necessary because God, he wouldn't ask us to do something that was not going to have any kind of fruit, right. You know? And so it's like, so then I prefer to believe that, and I'd rather live in that realm.
Well, you got to remember, you know, St. Augustine has a phrase, the simultaneity of eternity, God's outside time, you know.
Yes.
So he's in the simultaneity of eternity. That's not something we can really wrap our minds around. It's maybe a philosophical concept we can describe.
Yes, exactly. You know? it's a mystery, as Sister says, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's always going to be a mystery until that day that we see him face to face.
Right, but God has absolute mastery over the simultaneity of eternity, and he's able to create creation and his plan for our salvation within the context of that simultaneity for eternity. And so there are certain things where we just need to, things don't seem to quite make sense and we don't have it all figured out, we need to just approach it with humility and be like, yeah, there's a limit as to how much we can fully grasp given our limitations. You
know? Yeah, exactly. And again, we don't want to get wrapped up in, like, did this prayer do it? Did this one prayer you know, or did this good work or whatever, did this help that person? I say yes. But at the end of the day, we leave this to, this is God's providence. It's not ours, right? This is where this is the economy, that, and the currency which we've been given.
Well, it's another good reason to consecrate yourself to our Blessed Mother. And by the way, November 5th, the next consecration cycle begins, culminating on December 8th. Because when we do that consecration, we've done a show on that before. You can look it up. But you're giving our Blessed Mother the authority, if she sees so fit, to take your prayers and change them. And that's basically saying she knows what you need better than you do. So
amen,
if you obtain a plenary indulgence and she thinks, you need that one right now, you know, then that's up to her. But if she's like, hey, I know a holy soul who needs it, then it's up to that's also up to her. And if you're praying for somebody and she redirects the prayer, she's going to see to it that it's brought to fruition in the best possible way. So I just want to give a shout out to the 33-day Marian consecration devotion, because it's a life changer.
Well, plus awesome. Two, when you do that consecration, you learn that she takes those prayers and multiplies them.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. That's awesome stuff. Again, prayers are efficacious, guys. We need to, we always need to be in that realm. So the big question then is like, and I asked at the beginning of the show, like, what traditions do you have on All Souls Day? We make an All Souls cake. I don't know. I don't know if anybody does
we
that.
We make a cake out of souls.
Yeah, no, we don't. We got really dark really fast.
It just sounded weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
This is the Nirvana coming out of Tim.
I think we have just, you know.
You tapped into something. Oh,
exactly. You know, Kurt Cobain, pray for us. I don't know what's going to happen. It's getting crazy. So, no, there are things that you can do. You can make them annual traditions if you want, but at the end of the day, there's some things you can do. One is, I mentioned it before, go to the cemetery. You know, you have loved ones in the cemetery. Their bodies are there. Their souls are not, but their bodies are there. And if we don't know the state of their soul, you know, as I look around, in like, say, our Catholic cemetery in town, you know, Calvary. You look around Calvary, I don't know that there's any named saints in Calvary, like where the church has declared this person to be a saint. I'd have to look in there and look a little closer but at the end of the day, probably not. Mm-hmm. So your prayers are efficacious for every single person that's in Calvary Cemetery right now. There we're talking about thousands of people.
Yeah,
thousands of souls. So go to a cemetery, visit your loved ones, make it an annual tradition, have a picnic. I don't know. A lot of cemeteries at this time of year will have events.
Yeah.
Where they'll have like
ghost tours.
Yeah, and movie nights. And it's amazing what they're trying to do. To kind
you
of,
like those?
I've not been. Now, ghost tours.
I love them. I know I sound like weird, but I love them.
That sounds good. But I do like taking tours of cemeteries and looking around and just
love
seeing. I see, especially at Calvary, it's an old one.
Yep.
It's really old. So you got these old monuments in there.
Oh, yeah.
Some really cool stuff. So go to the cemetery is a great thing to do for All Souls Day. Another is, you mentioned, Tom, indulgences, and we talked a little bit about that, but offering indulgences for the dead is a really, really profound gift that you can give someone, right? Happy All Souls Day. Here's an indulgence, you know. And you're right. Maybe it gets used for you. An indulgence, the graces can either come to you or to a person who's deceased, right?
Or both.
Or
it's
both.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, it's win-win. You can't go wrong.
Mm-mm.
You can't go wrong. So attaining indulgences, go to your local Catholic bookstore or Google online and find the Handbook of Indulgences. And it'll list all the... There are a bunch of indulgences you don't need permission for, that they're universal grants, right? Attending a priest's first mass and visiting a certain basilica on a certain feast day and things like that, and saying prayers there. And there's partial
recording
plenary.
A podcast with a deacon.
That's an extremely partial.
Sam, you think we get those? I think we got it.
Yeah, it's like
we got a bunch.
You think so?
Oh yeah,
I hope so.
Them up, baby.
Yes, I'll have to write to Pope Leo and say, hey, can you put that in the universal grants? Another thing is, we don't always do it, but giving alms. Mm-hmm. Like, so giving to the poor, and also closely tied to that are doing good works. Mm-hmm. So doing good works and giving alms, when they're done as a form of graces or as a form of prayer, as an offering for the dead, this is a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and then also closely tied to that, is having a mass said for your loved ones. So going in and go to the church office and say, I'd like to have a mass said for my mother. It doesn't have to be on All Souls Day. In fact, it's not going to be, because all the masses on All Souls Day are for all the souls of the faithful departed, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's for all those who are in purgatory and all those who need prayers. And that's why we do those masses on All Souls Day. But you can have personal offerings and private offerings, but at the same time, just go and pick a day. Maybe it's your loved one's birthday or an anniversary date or something that's relevant, and go ahead and have a mass said for them. And it's a powerful way. So these are just some simple things you can do on All Souls Day, because we all know we go and collect candy for Halloween, right? We All Hallows Eve. And then All Saints Day, unless it falls on a Saturday or a Monday, we all go to Mass. And so we kind of know what we do on All Saints Day. We dress up and all that kind of stuff. And that's part of, unfortunately, it's gotten a little too secular. But at the end of the day, there's some very good spiritual beginnings and meaning behind All Saints Day. But All Souls Day is one that I think gets forgotten a lot, right? It gets forgotten. And I think we don't want to forget the souls in purgatory, because for whatever reason, they're there. They're in a state of purgation. They're in that state, and they need us. And so this is why we take this opportunity, the Feast of All Souls, the commemoration of all the faithful departed, to pray for those that we love, that we loved, that we continue to love, and who need our prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes, or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.